to this thing here. This feels like it's gonna fall off. Hey man, let's grab our Bibles and turn with me to Luke 22. Luke 21. No wonder it wasn't looking right. Luke 22, let's all stand. I'm going to start reading in verse number 31. Read a couple passages of scripture, we'll pray, get started. Luke 22, 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt deny, or shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then he said unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. He said unto them, it is enough. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all you do for us, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here, God. But we ask that you would be here with us, God. This is your house. We've gathered together, God, but it's all in vain if you do not meet with us, God. I pray that you'd fill us with thy spirit. I pray that you'd use your word, that it would not return void tonight. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing in reference to the reading of the word of God. I read this passage of scripture here because Jesus was telling his disciples that if they had no sword, to buy a sword. And I think it's interesting a lot of what the Bible has to say about swords. And we're going to kind of do a little study tonight on swords. I had intended to preach kind of a continuation of what I had preached last Wednesday, the mini message, I guess, that we preached on Wednesday. I was debating on preaching the one that I was going to preach tonight, and God led me a little different direction, and I had intended to continue that and preach a message. But as I was studying it in 1 Samuel, you can turn with me to 1 Samuel, God led me, and in this passage of scripture here, I just couldn't get away from it. 1 Samuel in chapter 13, I found, and there's an interesting story that we find here in 1 Samuel chapter 13 that we're just going to spend some time here. And I find that this kind of parallels a problem that we have in churches today, Christianity today. It's just really gotten so casual. Churches, it became casual, social centers. I think you could use that to describe churches today more than the churches of old. You know, you use that as like a burning pulpit, you know, fiery preachers and stuff like that is how you would describe churches of old. Today, you don't have that as much. you have social centers and churches that won't even use the word church. They use you know, the flock or the point and things that you see around even in this area. Just things like, you know, I go to the flock. It's like, what? What is that? You know, and some of them, it started with, if you remember a few years back, they used the word community church a lot. And now it's just they've taken the word church off the sign altogether. It's not even called churches. It just becomes social events. And as I read this passage of scripture, I see a parallel and kind of explaining, I guess, the enemy's tactics. You know, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We need to be mindful of how Satan works and be prepared. We're in a battle. This is a battlefield. God told us to put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse number 16. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, and the people that were present with them abode in Gibeah of Benjamin. But the Philistines encamped in Michmash. And the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned unto the way that leadeth to Orpah and the land of Sheol. Another company turned the way of Bethhoron. And another company turned to the way of the border that looked to the valley of Zeboam toward the wilderness. Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share, his coulter, and his axe, and his mattock. Yet they had a file for the mattocks, and for the coulters, and for the forks, and for the axes, and to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan his son was there found. I read this passage of scripture, and I just think it's real interesting how the Bible talks about there were no swords. Here's God's people, and they got rid of all their swords. They had no swords, no spears. And then we look at the tools that they did have, and the interesting thing that we find here is in verse 20, they went down to the enemies to sharpen their tools. They went down to the Philistines to sharpen the share, the coulter, the axe, the mattocks. And they were fine with that. Obviously, the enemy had no issues with them having shares and coulters and mattocks and axes and goads, forks. They let them come down and sharpen them. Helped them. They had a file. Say, you know, you need to sharpen your tools. That's fine. As long as you don't have a sword. We have an issue with that. You see that in verse number 19. There was no smith found throughout the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. That's what they had a problem with. They had a problem with the swords and the spears. But as long as they didn't have any of those, they didn't have a problem with the other tools. So I kind of did a study and finding out what these tools that they did have, what they were used for, what they were. Maybe you're very familiar with all of them. If not, we're going to go over them a little bit and just kind of compare it again to Christianity today, churches today. We look there, and one of the first tools we come across, verse 20, is a share. A share. You've probably heard of plow shares. This is the broad blade on the back of a plow. That's the, you know, to dig in the ground, to tear the ground up. That's what a share is. The coulter is also a part of the plow. It goes in front of the share. It's a smaller blade that digs in there. So those two instruments are a part of the plow to dig the ground. To dig in the ground. The axe. We all pretty familiar with axes, what they're used for. They're for cutting down trees or large plants, you know, to clear the land. A mattock, that's like a pickaxe, a hoe. It's for hand digging. You got your plow, that's, you know, you use a beast or an animal to pull that, the dig, but the a matic, you use your hand. You're hand digging. Forks, we're familiar with pitchforks and dung forks. You know, this for pretty much moving material around. And the goads, a little prod, a little cattle prod or whatever. It's just a pointed stick, pretty much like a javelin, to get the animal to move. It don't want to move, poke it. You ever want to do that to some people sometimes, you know? Move. But so that's what the tools that you see them have. These are their tools. And I look and go over these things, and it just, I started kind of thinking in a spiritual sense, you know, how things like this in their spiritual life, things that would dig in the ground and would stir things up, or are useful or are needful spiritually. But in itself, it's no good. And I started thinking, you know, and the goads, that's kind of what I found comical, that, you know, those are things that so many Christians like that. They want to poke at someone else to get them where they ought to be instead of looking at themselves, you know. You know, you need to be that way. You know, you need to dress differently. You need to go to different places. We as Christians, how many can, you know, don't raise your hand, but we do that. We see the problem in everyone else, and we say, that person needs to be doing this, and that person needs to be doing that. And luckily, we don't have that goad in our hand, because we would definitely be using it on everyone else, wouldn't we? And so the enemy doesn't mind us doing that to one another, instead of looking at ourselves. Instead of looking at our own life and looking at ourselves of what we need to change. The forks and the mattocks to stir the ground up, and a couple words that I wrote down here, when I think of all these tools put together, they're used for whether it's moving dirt, moving the ground, moving things, moving animals. It's used for moving and stirring up. So the terms that you hear sometimes with the churches of the day, oh, I was so moved in that service. And there's nothing wrong with being moved in the service. If the Holy Spirit comes in, you're going to be moved. There's nothing wrong with that, but that in itself, there's something missing. Oh, you know, that worship service really stirred me up. And so, the moved and stirred up, those are things, and you see all these tools, that's what it's for. Different ways to stir the ground, to dig it up, and to move material or even animals with the goat. And churches today, I mean, that's what people are going for. They're going for a feeling. They're going for a movement. I just didn't feel nothing at that church. Let's go down here where we all swaying and the music's just moving. And the enemy's fine with that. You know, you think of it. Music is a good tool. But not by itself. Not by itself. It's wonderful in a church service that is right, that the music can move and stir your heart and get it prepared for the preaching of the Word of God. Motivational teaching. It's good, but not in itself. It's useful. It's a good tool. There's good motivational speakers. And if they would just use the Word of God to plant the seed. I mean, think about it. Stirring up the ground, taking that plow and going through, stirring up the ground. What good is that if there's no seeds planted? I mean, what farmer's going to go out there all day long and take that plow and stir and dig and all that and never plant any seeds? What good did that do? They wasted their time, their sweat, their effort, but I sure stirred that ground up. The ground was moved. It's different than it was before. It felt it. But no seeds were planted. And that's where churches are going. They're going to services to be stirred up, to be moved, and not be changed. You think of it, when you stir the ground up, it's for one or two reasons to make it useful. One, to plant something, or two, to build something. You either dig the ground to plant something, or you dig in the ground to build something. If you're not building or planting anything, then all that labor and all that work was pointless. Got yourself dirty. Get to brush the dirt off your pants and look like you did something, but nothing was accomplished. And church after church after church after church. Today, that's what's going on. You're going in. Things are getting stirred up. People are getting moved. And they walk out the door with no change. Nothing was built in their life. Nothing was changed. Nothing was planted. The Word of God wasn't even preached. Moving illustrations, they're a good tool. They stir up. But that in itself, without the Word of God, it's not good. Swords and spears, all these other things are for stirring and for moving and stirring things up. Swords and spears, you know what they're used for? Killing. Death. Oh, whoa, whoa. We don't want that in church. We need to get that back in church. Well, what are you talking about? Death? Let's make some sacrifices? Yeah. We need to make some sacrifices in church. What do we sacrifice? How about ourselves? How about our dreams? When it doesn't line up with God's will. That's something you ought to kill. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, he said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." Oh, we don't want the sword. Let's get rid of the sword. And if we do that, oh, we'll make the enemy happy. In fact, he'll let us come down and fellowship with us. Come on down. Bring your mattocks and your coulters and your axes. Bring that on down. We'll help you sharpen it. We'll get your music sharpened and tuned if that's all you got. If you get rid of that sword, we don't mind you stirring people up. As long as no seeds are planted. And people are going to the world all the time to sharpen their tools because they laid down the sword and the enemies are like, "Come on, let's fellowship together. We can be brothers now. I don't want to fellowship with the world." And that's what happened. You've seen there in 1 Samuel. They were going down to the Philistines. That's their enemy. And the Philistines were letting them. As long as they didn't have the sword. But we need to get that sword back. The things need to die. There needs to be some death when you come to church. Something needs to die. Sacrifices need to be made. And in 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul says, "I die daily." Christians need to get back to that. To where we look at our life and our will and our desires and our wants. When you look in that mirror in the morning, you should say, "You're dead." You know what, BJ Short? You're dead. Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ." That's not where it ends, though. "Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." The only way that can happen is when you first die. When you first crucify yourself, then Christ can live in you. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Death has to happen. And this should be something that happens daily. It should be something when you come to church and the word of God is preached and that sword sticks and you should say, you know what? That needs to die in my life. I need to get rid of that. That needs to be sacrificed on the altar, and you bring it to the altar and you lay it there and you say, it's dead to me. Because it does not line up with God's will for my life. But people don't like that nowadays. People don't like that today. So they will go to a church where that's been taken out. They got the motivational speaker. They got the music that'll move them. And they leave there and say, whoa, that was good stuff. Nothing's changed. They haven't died, so God can't use their life. Because the only way God can live through you is for you to die. You understand that? Young people, you understand that? The only way God can live through your life is for you to die. And as long as you say, you know what, I'm alive and well, you haven't yielded to God. Colossians 3, and we don't like this word, Colossians 3 verse 5. Mortify. Ugh. Sounds gruesome. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. There's some things you need to kill. How are you going to do it? Well, the sword. Mortify your members, therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication. That needs to die. Young people that aren't married, you need to cut that out. Say, you're dead. It's not going to happen. Uncleanness, kill it. Inordinate affection, kill it. Evil concupiscence needs to die. Covetousness and idolatry. God says, mortify these things. Put it to death. Kill it. Churches have changed from that. And you know this is true. I'm glad that this church, for one, hasn't. This church still preaches the Word of God, the whole truth. Romans chapter 8, we find that word again. Mortify. Look at verse number 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. God's saying there's some things that need to die. There's some things that need to be put to death. Paul says, it's me. Every day, I need to die. And that's us too. We're no different. We got a will that needs to die every day and allow God's will to live in our life. We got pride that needs to die every day. We got sin, and that needs to be put to death every day, to be sacrificed. People's dreams, some people that have dreams and it doesn't line up with God's will. That needs to be put on the altar. And people don't like that. And the enemy don't like that. And they say, put down your swords. That type of preaching, that there's no place in today's world. Well, yes, it is. It ought to be. It ought to be. We don't need to yoke up with the enemy and put down the swords. We need to pick those swords up and sharpen them. Turn back to 1 Samuel. I think that was just a sad, sad story that we read here. And the worst part, one of the saddest things, is found in verse number 19 of 1 Samuel 13. Now there were no smiths found throughout all the land of Israel. These are the men who knew what it took to make a weapon effective, knew how to sharpen it. They were studied and skilled, knew how to balance it just right. Now look at this as preachers. We need preachers that'll take the Word of God, will learn it, will study it, will get skilled and know how to use it in the day of battle. They'll know how to balance it just right. A sword that's unbalanced isn't as useful as a sword that's balanced just right. That skilled warrior can take that sword that's balanced right and sharpened right. They can do a lot of damage or good, how you look at it. And we need preachers. That's where it started, right there. There were no smiths. There's no one to stand up and say, I'll do it. There's a need, and I'll fill that need. The need isn't for more axes and more coulters and more shares and more mattocks. And the need isn't for more forks and goads. The need is for some swords. And I'll fill that need. And my heart's thrilled, Brother Brian, that you would take and surrender your life. Preach the Word of God. And for the men that have already surrendered, and I know God's working on other men. Maybe some of them that are upstairs. Some of them that are in the back. And I pray, and you pray. Ladies, you pray that God's going to work in some of these men to stand up and be preachers. We need preachers. 1 Timothy 3:1 says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good thing. We need some men that would desire to preach the Word of God. Romans 10, this is one of the more familiar passages of Scripture. We know Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then it goes on to say, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I'm going to end my message here, but I challenge you to take and continue reading in 1 Samuel 13. The last verse we read said that Saul and Jonathan had a sword. And it goes on to show what Jonathan, one man, took his armor bearer, what he did with the sword that he was given, that he had. Because he didn't put his sword down. Two men. I challenge you to read this as good stuff. They went and said, hey, let's go challenge these Philistines. Let's go over. There's a garrison of Philistines over there. Let's me and you go. He didn't tell Saul, just him and his armor bearer. Two men said, let's go. They went up to these Philistines, where the garrison of Philistines were up on this hill, and they were hiding and looking them out. They saw this garrison up there, an army of Philistines up there. There's two people. And he told his armor bearer, said, hey, God can save by many, God can save by few. Let's go see what God's going to do today. Let's make ourselves known. They came out to, hey guys, we're here. And he said, if they say, hold on, we're going to come down there, then we know that's what we're going to wait for them. If they say, come on up, let's go get them. We know God's going to be with us. And they said, hey, come on up here. We'll show you a thing. They said, oh, let's go. They went up there, and the Bible says over 20 of them fell before those two. Why? Because he didn't put down his sword. He kept his sword. And a man that'll take that sword and use it for God, it's no telling what God will do. It's no telling what God will do. That's some good stuff. I challenge you to read it if you're not familiar with that story. I love that story, especially that line. God's not limited. He doesn't need many. He just needs a man that'll say, here am I. Send me. I'll do it. I see the need, I'll fill the need. God, if you'll use me. And that's what Jonathan said. He said, it's not us. He says, no, tell what God can do. Let's go see what God's going to do with us. He may use us, he may not. You won't know till you try. Put God to the test. There were no smiths found in the land and no swords. Let's get him back. Let's get him back. Let's stand firm with the sword. That's the sword. Right there. The Bible tells us over and over. This is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is God's sword. It'll plant a seed. It'll kill the sin. It'll help us mortify the members. It'll help us die to ourselves. That's all we need. All the other stuff is to make this work easier. The music, well, if that soil's already stirred up, it's easier to plant the seed. But that in itself, without the sword, is in vain. Vanity. So we heard the pastor talk about, or someone was preaching it lately, recently. Vanity. This is vanity. That's vanity. And it's vanity if we take this and set it down and say, let's yoke up with the enemy. They can help us out. They can sharpen all our other tools. Let's put that down. Now let's pick it up. Let's charge. Let's charge. Let's see what God's going to do. Let's all stand.